This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. It's always me, Deborah Wolf. Yep. Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook. Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. If you want to see me in action with dogs, or you want to see me train a dog to find the car, which is a very good thing, by the way. You should always train your dogs to find the car so you don't get lost. And then you put them on the leash and they save you. They rescue you. They take you out of the forest. They find your car, even in a crowded parking lot. It's amazing. They just find your car. So you can do that. But on YouTube, I got a comment asking me. They said, it was a really interesting comment. It was very long. And it's from a man who's been colorblind his whole life. And he wants to know, basically, does he see like a dog? Basically. Because he doesn't see red and shades of purples and pinks. And he mostly thinks he sees in black and white. Now, mostly thinks he sees in black and white is kind of a weird thing, because if he's never seen color, how would he know that other people are seeing it differently? And this is something I've often thought about, because dogs and cats have breed recognition, even when they can't smell. So when you do an experiment where they can see each other, but they can't smell each other, they will demonstrate breed recognition. So that must be a recognition of patterning, as well as posture and size and coat and other things. But it's got to be. So patterning, like the brown and black of a Rottweiler, or the gray and white and beige of a German Shepherd, or the different markings of a Spaniel, right? Patterning. You have to be able to see distinctions there. Okay, well, you could do that with black and white vision or gray vision or color vision minus red. You could. But what's to say that what I see is what you see? Even though I'm not colorblind and neither are you, when we look at the same thing, I find something beautiful and you find it ugly. Or I think this outfit matches and you think it clashes. Or you're from a different culture, so your eye likes certain colors together that mine doesn't, because I'm from over here in Canada and I'm not used to some of these puce and maroons and browns and oranges that I see people from places like India wear all the time. The saffron and the mustards, I would never wear those clothes, but they do, and they look great in them. So is my eye just cultured differently, or do I actually see differently? Do I perceive color differently? And then, you know, when you think about that, sometimes it's hard for people to get their head around that maybe dogs do see just like us, even though their eyes anatomically have been dissected to show that they don't contain the same components that our eyes do to register red, for example. So we figure, because they don't have the same physical components to measure color, we figure they don't see it. But is their brain able to compensate? I mean, clearly they can see blood. They can react to blood, which is red. So what is it? Is it always the smell? Well, in experiments, they've isolated so scent can't factor in, and they seem to register blood. What is that? Do they have something we don't that registers that? The way fish underwater see ultraviolet and see colors we don't see, right? I mean, there could be something like that. But the way I try to explain it also is in terms of sound, right? Maybe you think all people who have normal vision, so people who are not colorblind, see color the same. And then dogs, well, they see color the same, which is not to see it at all. Maybe you think that. But then you have to think about hearing. If we all have the same kind of hearing, all of us, why is it that some people love opera and some people can't stand it? Why is it some people love jazz and some people think it's a racket? Why is it that some people love string music and just some people don't? And, you know, Justin Bieber, not everybody's cup of tea. I mean, Lady Gaga, that's not for me. So Ariana Grande, yes, please, right? Everybody's got their own likes and dislikes musically, and you know yours. And it's certainly not the same as the person next to you. Sometimes husband and wife can't agree. Just like brother and sister Donnie and Marie, one likes country, the other likes rock. Well, I guess, right? She was a little bit country and he was a little bit rock and roll. Anyway, so if our hearing is identical. Our ears are the same and we can hear the same sounds in the same way. Why is it we perceive music differently? And that, I think, is a good demonstration of why we see things differently. I may see something as beautiful and you may see it as ominous, like a huge dark forest. If I were raised in a plain and I wasn't used to it, it might be scary to me. And the same is reverse, right? If you were raised in the forest and you came out on a plain, you might think, oh my gosh, there's no cover here. This is terribly ominous, right? So it's all, some of it is cultural. Some of it is what we've learned. And that's true with animals too. Some of it is what they've adapted and experienced and learned through trial and error and experience and instinct and being passed down. But it's a very interesting question. Does a colorblind man see the same way as a dog does? And I would say that a man who can perceive, who can see perfectly well, but cannot perceive certain shades of reds, that is very similar to the anatomy that we are told facilitates what the dog can see. Now, you probably all know that the brain can do amazing things. Like, okay, I'll give you a quick example from my own life. Years and years ago, I was playing with a toddler, 2.5-year-old, and she reached up to see how my eyelashes work. But I wasn't really watching that. This is my niece, who's now well grown. Anyway, I was holding her and she scratched my eye with her fingernail and it scratched my cornea. I had to go to the doctor. I was in Florida. It was a big deal. We had to go to the island doctor and he came in sandals and no shirt, put a shirt on for the appointment. Thank you. And it was very different from the kind of medical care we get up here. But anyway, all was well. I had to rest for like the eye and be in darkness and wear goggles in a sunny place, stay indoors. I mean, it kind of wrecked my vacation, but it did heal. But when it healed, it left me with a line right through what I was seeing. Everywhere I went, I could see this line. It was so disturbing. It was this, as if there was like, I was wearing glasses or a contact lens and there was a hair across the middle. So frustrating. I had to kind of see around it. And then one day, like 6 weeks, 2 months later, I couldn't see the line anymore. So I went to the eye doctor because I had to go for checks here. And he said, the line's still there. It'll always be there, but your brain compensates now and you don't see it anymore. So I thought, oh, wow, that's so fascinating. So does a dog, does a man with no ability to perceive color still have some kind of recognition of the difference between shades or vibrancy or intensity? Is there something different about red? I mean, this letter described how can't match his own clothes and he has to have a salesperson always help him because otherwise he'd walk away with stuff that's just horrendous to everyone else. And, but does he see something? Is he able, does his brain able to do that? And are dog's brains able to perceive some kind of difference between red and the other colors and green and the other colors without the same anatomy as we have? It's a big question for me. So we're gonna think on that and go to break and come back and talk about a warning about a very common dog drug. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And a few months ago, you heard me talking about Librela, the new wonder drug, and I was going to try it on my standard poodle, Prancing Cinnamon Teddy Bear, who's since passed away. It did not work for him, by the way. But it's a drug that vets are kind of recommending for dogs with arthritis and stiffness and soreness. And it's had some remarkable effects. But unfortunately, there's a new warning out. And so I'm just going to read it out to you. Okay, so here we have it. So there's a new warning from the American Veterinary Association and the Canadian, and they're saying that Librela may have some very serious side effects, including ataxia, that's loss of muscle control, that's really serious, anorexia, so weight loss, lethargy, so if your dog is like so can't move, exhausted by life, seizures, partial loss of impairment of muscle function, recumbency, inability to stand is what that is. So a lot of these are can't stand, can't move, can't walk, seizuring, shaking, exhausted. Okay. Urinary incontinence. So yeah, peeing all over the place. Excessive urination, having to pee all the time. Excessive thirst, drinking like crazy. So if you got your dog on Librela and it's starting to show any of these like urinary signs or soreness signs, or it's all of a sudden doesn't seem to be working anymore, go see your vet, because this is not good. This is not good. Now, most dogs are probably going to be fine on it, but the ones who are having these problems, in some cases, it causes death, including from euthanasia, because the dog's suffering so much, they put the dog down. So you're not paying these heavy-duty prices, $100 a shot or more, for Librela to have your dog suffer. So please look into that. It may not be the right drug for your dog. Okay, so in later news, we have a record breaker. A new cat makes the Guinness Book of World Records. It is an ordinary cat, nothing fancy here, short-haired domestic cat, originally born in China, now lives in America. And, okay, you might say, well, what could a cat possibly do to make the Guinness Book of World Records? What could a cat possibly do? Well, I'll tell you, a cat can skateboard. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, it can. Okay. So it goes 10 meters, which is almost 11 yards. So 10 meters in 12.85 seconds. That is fast. This is a fast skateboarding cat. Woohoo. Well done, kitty cat. All right. We're going to go to break and we're going to talk about their DNA. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and I told you about a horrible thing that happened to a school, a field trip. Little itty-bitty elementary kids with their teachers, oh, la, 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 walking along, and they accidentally came too close to a grizzly, who they think may have had cubs with her, and it may have been a sow, a female, big one. And she attacked them. She put kids in the hospital and the teachers defended the kids. The teachers were valiant. They were so brave and sprung into action. But a lot of people got hurt and kids had to be airlifted out. It was a nightmare. So then they went and, you know, tried to find the bears. So since then, they found and trapped two grizzlies in the same area. But they're not the right bears. And I remember saying to you on air, how can they possibly tell which grizzlies were involved? Well, actually, they totally can. Because there's DNA at the site. So by using the DNA found at the site, and it could be just hair, bear hair, you know, they are able to determine that the two bears they've caught are not the right bears. So they're going to relocate them and keep trying. But I think that's so fascinating that science can help us that much. It's pretty amazing. All right, everybody. One more thing in the news. It's a little bit unusual. And that is animal tranquilizers. Animal tranquilizers are very, very, very strong drugs. And sometimes they're used on people too, sometimes. But most of the time, no. And in particular, there's one called, and I hope I say this right, metatomidine. And so what's happening is there were 5,100 calls because of this drug. Because the people who are addicted to street drugs have accidentally been taking it in their fentanyl. And now, apparently, 30% of the drugs tested in a place called Cranbrook, BC. Oh, it's so beautiful there. It's got like hot springs and mountains and rolling hills. It's just gorgeous. Anyway, so 30% of the drugs tested there were affected, and 3% contained metomidine, which they say is stronger than xylazine. Now, xylazine, I remember this, it's a non-opioid animal tranq for horses, for cattle. So this is serious, you guys. You gotta, if you know people who are dependent on street drugs, you gotta make sure they're getting clean drugs or get off it, because the dealers are just, they're using animal tranquilizers, which are absolutely deadly to us. And they don't even give the effect these people are looking for. They don't. They're non-opioid. They're just drugging them. They're just cheating. It's just terrible. And people will die from this. So we've got to be careful. I know these drugs work well when an animal has surgery and the animal's a gigantic animal, way bigger than a human, and it's well controlled and monitored. But this is not cool. We've got to be careful. All right, we're going to go to break and come back with a little dog training on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And I was taking my own dogs, four of them, out in the woods, in the forest, and really enjoying it. Except that at certain times, we'd be completely alone with nobody in sight, and then someone would show up. And so the dogs were barking a little too much at a stranger. A couple of the older dogs would come right away, but the two younger ones bark and kind of irritate the stranger, make the stranger worry. In one case, I have four dogs who are, well, the biggest one is 60 pounds. The others are all around 40. So three 40-pound dogs, and one is about 55. And they're doodle poodle types. So they look friendly and sweet and all that, and we're bouncing through the forest. But they don't expect to see anyone. So when all of a sudden there's a man, they bark a bit. And that's okay, as long as they come back. But in this case, it was a woman with three or four little dogs on the leash, and they just found this too irresistibly tempting, and they wouldn't come. And so what do? Well, I get them on leash. I get them to practice right then and there. Then the next time I have an opportunity, which is the very next day, I take just two of them to the exact same place, and we work on everything. And then the next day, the other two. Until everybody's getting it. In fact, what I did was I went two and two and two and two. So each partnership was different, right? I first worked, what was my first pick? It was Dorita and Fabio were the first two. And then I took Peachy, I can't remember, but I took two so that they weren't, it wasn't a conditional thing. Each one had to work with one other dog and listen well in the forest. And then I took the one who's the most skittish around cars and a little bit difficult at the end of the walk to get to behave, I took her by herself and did some work with her. So, yeah, it takes time. But then the next time I put them all back together and went in the forest, man, were they good. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even have to call them. I was tripping over them almost. And when I did, I would whistle once. The first few times I had to call all their names and stand there and wait and show that I'm going in a different direction and all this stuff. The last time I went, I just went one time, quietly, not even loud, one little medium whistle. I was like, one, two, three, four. All of them checked in. And it was beautiful. I put my little headset on my ears and I listened to my playlist and I was walking through the forest and I knew if we encountered a man or a woman with dogs or whatever, I could call them and they'd just come because we're well practiced in that area. And that's what you got to do. If you have a problem, like, oh, he's terrible at the park, or he's terrible on the way to the park, or he doesn't like, or he loses his mind at the beach. Well, instead of avoiding that thing, you got to go there with lots of control and nobody who's dragging you down, right? You can't do it with impatient kids who are like, can we go now? You can't do it with someone who's just dying to go on a, you know, hike up the mountain. No, you can't. You got to go there when you have the time to train the dog and that's your focus, right? If you actually get to go for a hike, that's a bonus. If you actually get to sit out on the beach or play frisbee, great. But right now you're there for the dog. You're going to train him. So the rest of the time you take him, it's a pleasure, right? Yes, of course. It should be a pleasure. So one of these times when I was out there with just two dogs, I heard this extremely loud crash, extremely loud. And I don't know what it was, but there were no people, no bikes, no motorcycles. It was pouring rain. I believe it was an animal. I don't know many animals that can make that loud a sound. The thing is, though, usually when you hear a bear, you don't just hear one sound because they're not really trying to be quiet. Bears don't care. They just smash, 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 smash through the forest. But one sound, it crashed. Well, mountain lions never crash. They're very stealth. So it's probably a bear and it's probably not moving and it's probably watching us and it was probably there for a while. And as soon as we heard that noise, the two dogs I was with, which I think were Dorita and, yeah, it was Dorita and Poca, my two older girls. They're 5 and 4, I believe, and a half, something like that. Anyway, they're both spayed females and they're really good dogs. One's a poodle and one's a doodle. And instead of doing what they usually do when they hear a noise in the woods, which is go seek it out or get all excited or prick their ears up, they both immediately tucked their tails in tight. And one was on my right and one was on my left, and I could feel them against my legs. They were like, let's get out of here. And instead of being loud like I normally would to try and scare off a bear, we just quietly got out of there. I trusted their judgment on this, and we got out of there. We just left. We were gone. No fuss, no muss, no running. We just got out of there. So after doing the show last time when we talked about bears, I realized that I'm as guilty as anyone else of thinking that I'll be fine with animals because I love them. And so I actually instead brought bear spray with me for the first time in years. And so when I encountered this bear, I actually had bear spray with me just in case. I highly recommend it because normally something like that would really, really be terrifying. But it wasn't because I knew if push came to shove, and hopefully I wouldn't have to, but if you ever do need to use bear spray, you're supposed to spray it on the ground ahead of you because it goes up. So you don't spray it at the bear's face. You spray it at the ground in front of his feet and it will rise up into his face. And you don't run from a bear. You back up looking big and strong and tall and loud. All right, most of you aren't going to encounter bears, but you might encounter cats and dogs. And that's what this show's usually about. And next week I'll be talking more. Well, actually, I'm going to tell you about a question we had. Someone asked, if all wild animals are afraid of fire, why do pet cats burn themselves on candles? And why do some dogs love to sit by the fire? So I asked that question to Professor Dr. Stanley Coren, and he gave me an answer. And I'll be telling you about that answer on our next show. On Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. All right, everybody, from me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.